So what you're actually doing is you're dealing with these patients that are in the PMS, that are leaving the PMS, and where are they going? All right, we are live for another episode of Dental Marketing Theory. It's been almost a year, so it's time to bring back on my friend Santosh, which I'm going to introduce in just a moment. But before we do anything, I need you to do me a favor. We have thousands of listeners, and we only have about 50 reviews on all of our platforms for this podcast. So whatever you're listening on, take 3 seconds and leave a 5-star review or thumbs up or subscribe. Just interact with it in some way. It really, really helps us. I know you're ignoring me, so go ahead and skip over that and just do it, and that will really help me. Santosh, my friend, how have you been?
Oh, Gary, I'm doing well, man. I appreciate the invite and hope you're doing well.
Definitely. I've definitely been staying busy, that's for sure. And I know you have too. The reason that I wanted to bring you on today was your company, Complete Specialty. Last time we talked, I'll just do a brief overview. We talked last time. You said you had a service that you were helping people fill in for specialty, and people, you would help offices be able to get specialists, fill in those days that they needed, and you would kind of do all the heavy lifting. That was the last conversation we had about a year ago. But yeah, since then, you've come out with some software to help us, to help offices be able to fill in the gaps without your services, and even see if they need a specialist and how much treatment they're losing, and through specialty and through referrals and through not taking advantage of those opportunities. Did I get that right? Is that kind of where you guys are at?
Yes, that's exactly right. So, you know, so for the last really 4 years, our focus has been heads down just on services, really just integrate just a comprehensive solution to dental groups and practices. Over the last 2 years, we realized one of the biggest gaps that we were having and frustration points was how are we communicating between the office, our ops team, and then the specialist, right? And how do we streamline that? It was emails and fragmented emails and text messages, all the stuff that gets lost, those post-it notes, right? It was all the, and then you got new team members who are coming in either on our side or the dental practice side. So we actually went out and, you know, hired our own developers, and one of my partners is a technology entrepreneur. And so we built our own internal software to streamline how we operate our business, right? And so as we've continued to use that platform for the last 2 years and processed over 20,000 referrals, we've had groups of DSOs who have practices in markets we don't currently serve ask if they can leverage this software, right? And, you know, at first we were kind of like, no, that's not really built for anybody else. And then, you know, somebody else asked, and somebody else asked, and then we realized, okay, well, let's
this is what the people
back.
Actually want, right?
This is what they want, right? So they're asking for it. And really our whole vision has always been, how do we help practices add specialty, right? So it was important for us to take a step back and say, okay, does that necessarily mean that we have to come in and do it all? Or does that mean we create a model where it could still be a do-it-yourself with the right kind of guidance and framework and checks and balances, right? And
awesome.
As well as maybe it's just a tracking mechanism, because usually the question always is, when am I ready to add specialty, right?
Yeah, yep. Hey, before we go any further in the show, I need you to visit a website for me, dentalmarketingmanager.com. If you're a dental office that has somebody managing some of your marketing internally, it's so important that you get them trained. And right now, there is no standard, there is no set of KPIs that people use to build out this position. And so it's been a little bit like the Wild Wild West, but we're aiming to change that. On December 8th and 9th of 2022, we are going to be hosting the first ever Dental Marketing Bootcamp, and we're going to be covering everything that there is to know about being a marketing manager, all the KPIs, how to partner with a marketing vendor, how to build out a position, how to get more patient referrals, 2023 plan calendared out, and everything that, again, that you're going to need to manage your dental marketing. And this is not something that you're going to want to miss if you are a marketing manager, and you're not going to want to have your team miss this if you have somebody helping you internally with your marketing. So we hope that you will come. A lot of the SMC clients are going to be there. And if you don't work with SMC, that's totally fine. We still want you there. We want to help you. We want to help your businesses grow. So go check us out, dentalmarketingmanager.com. And please go sign up. We have limited space, limited opportunities, and we hope to see you there. Yeah, it's crazy to me that there's not anything in the market that you can, besides you, that you can actually figure out that question. Like, how much are you referring out? How many opportunities are you missing? It doesn't exist. And so you guys closing that gap is huge. Also, I feel like we're on kind of the similar trajectory, because at SMC, we do marketing, dental marketing for patients, mm-hmm. to attract patients. To do that, we needed software that didn't exist, that integrated with PMSs. And so we started building it. And now we get more requests for just the software than we do for the marketing services. And that's the future of where we're heading as well. And it's just fascinating to see both companies doing that. The last time we talked, how many team members were you at as a company?
Gosh, I mean, we were pretty early in our growth. We were probably at 30, 35 team members.
And how many are you at now?
We're over at about 70 now. Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's been
so
a lot of growth.
More than doubled the team in the last year, less than a year. How, tell me a little bit about that growth. How has that growth been on you? What have you learned? What's been hard about it?
Yes, you know, the last few months, right, just like industry-wide, it's been challenging from an RDA staffing standpoint, a clinical operations standpoint. And, you know, so we've struggled a little bit in how, because our model is travel. It's heavy travel, right? So with gas prices being high, it was difficult to initially go out and recruit. Thankfully, we had, you know, kind of less than normal, I would say, turnover. And so it was also then our existing team members going out recruiting other team members to come in. But it was important for us to actually take a step back and realize what else can we do on the culture development side? Because as much as sometimes we think we're doing enough, we really are not, right? And so it was a good reflection opportunity for us to come back and say, okay, what can we do that's more focused on building this environment of this organization that people want to continue to work with?
What were some of the biggest things that you worked on? What were some things that you found opportunities for growth?
I think the first step was really our organization chart, right? So I'm a DEO member, and you know that's one of the things they really kind of harp on is, you know, if you have visions of growing, build your foundation, right? So get your foundation first. And the more we sat down as leaders and founders, we realized, okay, this is what we believe and perceive to be a strong foundation. And then we go out and speak to our managers and then our frontline team, and we find out that really they want a clear understanding and path, the hierarchy for growth, and an understanding, some clear checkoffs, right? So if we can complete these competencies, where does that position us for the next growth stage? And so that was the most important part, right? I think we're having one-off conversations with team members and folks, and it wasn't until we kind of took a step back, and we're still building it, right? Like we use kind of Miro board as our digital whiteboard. We're always moving that thing around and just to kind of get it, you know, better succinct to our vision and our goal. But that's one of the biggest areas where I think sometimes, you know, and I know we neglected it, right? And truthfully, like that's something that if we hit a reset button, I just would not start an organization without thinking through what that hierarchy would look like.
It's so funny. I just posted something today and it's gotten some, actually last night, and it got some good traction on Facebook and LinkedIn. I said, it was just a picture that said titles have meaning. And I posted on there. When I first started, I didn't care about titles and I really struggled. I was just like, whatever, you can have whatever title you want. What do you want to be? You know, oh, I want to be like, cool. You can do that. Doesn't matter if it aligned with what they actually did or their skill set. And someone commented on there, it was actually Jody. She said, yes, people who are willing to do anything to be successful are typically don't care as much about titles. And that's usually founders, right? Where it's like, whatever, I'll be a client account manager. I'll do sales. I'll be a project manager. I'm chief everything officer, right? CEO. I'll do it, whatever it takes. But that's most people don't have that mindset. 99.9% of people don't have that mindset inside your company, nor should they. And so not providing those titles and not creating that clarity around who goes where and who does what, it really wreaks havoc on a company. And I didn't realize that early on. And once I got clarity around that, it really helped us because it helped me not only provide that clarity, but it also helped me provide motivation. I realized some of our team members are more motivated about their title than they are about their pay, and more motivated with the opportunities than they are with maybe something else that I thought was more valuable. So that really helped me. And that's interesting that you brought that up. Was there any other culture plays that you saw that, man, we did this and it really helped our team?
You know, I think one of the things that we're trying to drive back down to is, again, another eye-opening moment, right? So going back to core values, who really knows our company's core values, right? And yeah. You go out and so what is it that we're doing on our onboarding process to really embed our culture value as well as ensuring that team members' needs are being met across the board? And so that's been a component of like we're looking at different software solutions, kind of streamline and digitize that process, but we don't want to take out the human element of yeah. who we are as a company and making sure that we also are tying back into that and going through the mantra, like we want to go through the mantra of for our leaders, like inspire, instruct, and inspect, right? And so using that three leadership principles and being able to inspect that they're getting to their next goal and checkpoint. And it's not an inspect in the sense of micromanaging. It's making sure that, you know, they're also kind of coming up with their goals are and how are we checking throughout the process that, you know, what are the guardrails that they need and support they need to kind of get to their next phase. And
what were those three things again? Inspire and inspect and what?
Yeah. So inspire, instruct, and inspect. And so, you know, our goal is to kind of help inspire our team and that's by learning kind of what does inspire them, right? And sometimes that is titles. And oddly enough, sometimes it's the $5, you know, name badge that has yeah. their name yeah. and their title yeah. and that they can walk in proudly to an office and present. And again, like that's something that we just didn't think about. We overlooked it, right? And so it was neglect early on and it was helpful for us to kind of just get that feedback from our team members. And thankfully they don't, you know, they're not shy about sharing their feedback, which is kind of, you know, actually something we're proud of. Yep. And then
that means you haven't fired a bunch of people publicly for saying yeah. things out loud. Right. That's what that means. Cause
exactly.
When somebody hedge rolls one time, then it's like, nope, we're not saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we gotta kind of embed that culture in and, of openness and communication. We're not perfect, right? Like I'm not perfect. My team's not perfect. We're just not perfect. We're all going to stub our toe and how do we kind of bounce yep. back from it?
That's so cool.
Yeah. So inspire, instruct, inspect is kind of what we try to go by.
I love that. And I think it's perfect. It's perfectly said. I'm definitely going to be using that. So tell me a little bit more about your software. Where are you guys at as a company right now? Who are your clients? How are you interacting with your avatars?
Yeah, so when you think about the software itself, and just like any kind of software solution, it's really driven around what are we measuring, and what outcome are we trying to change, right? So when we looked at the outcome was based on a couple of questions. Many practices, so solo practices, all these DSOs, are always asking the question: when is the right time to add a specialist, and what type of specialty should we start with, right? And usually it's a very, oh, I send out a ton of patients. Well, that's recency theory. You sent out a ton of patients maybe last week, but no more for the rest of the month, right?
Yeah.
And then on the other side of it is, okay, now that we track these patients, how are we going to use this data to now level up our recruiting a specialist, mm-hmm. right? So like there's 5% oral surgery kind of constitutes 5% of the overall dentist pool, right? So
from a labor standpoint?
Yeah, so 5% of dentists are oral surgeons.
So if we have 100 dentists, 5 of them are oral surgeons.
Correct. Right.
Got it.
So the goal there is, well, how are we going to kind of present an opportunity to those 5 oral surgeons that this is the right practice environment for them, right? So we want to kind of create this tracking model that then has some analytics. It gives them full access on their mobile device, right? Because we all know specialists are not remoting in. They're not VPing into a practice schedule and trying to get data. They want it on their phone, right? So we've created a software on their mobile device. They can see the referrals, swipe left if they want to do it, press green, swipe right if they think that this is a case that maybe needs to be referred
out. Basically Tinder for specialty.
For referrals, yeah, to manage the referral side of it. And then so it gives them strong communication. Great data on, yes, this is a great opportunity for me to kind of serve. Let me reallocate some of my days so I can go serve this practice. it level sets expectation across the board, which I think is critical. Sometimes the setting expectations and bringing in specialty is difficult, and this kind of helps level set that. It creates a tremendous amount of compliance.
I love that. So walk me through, somebody like me or somebody who hasn't brought specialty into their practices, how does people do it without that? Like if I'm just a GP and I got three offices and I haven't brought in specialty. So what you just walked through sounds like, oh yeah, that right. makes sense. But what does it look like if I don't have that?
Yeah. So Gary, when we first started the business, we thought it was the easiest thing, right? So office, track your referrals, we'll pull your data set from your practice management system. And that's what we'll have, right? And then we find out that all the various different office practice management systems that exist, everyone has their own unique way of wanting to track, right? And then, yes. And when I say unique, it's not just the dentist or the dental owner who has their system. It varies between assistants
each
how they
team
document
member.
A referral.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
So all the data is kind of scattered and skewed and not consolidated, right? So it doesn't paint the right picture. And this is even for referral outs, right? So if they're sending a patient to an endodontist down the street, they're waiting to get information back to say, okay, now I can restore this case. Well, where was that patient's name, right? Was that on a referral pad? Was that on a business card? Was handed to the patient? So how did we track that? And we ultimately found that, very few, maybe 5% of practices are truly optimizing their practice management system to document effectively. But even if they did that, how are those referrals going over to the specialist in a succinct manner, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a big reason why we built our models. We took 5 front desk employees and that work with us, and we said, you build it for us. You tell us what you feel like would actually work and would be adopted, right? There's some tremendous referral platforms out there already that specialists buy and they give their GP, referring GP offices. But they're very, in my opinion, they're very robust, right? So like there's so much information that's being requested that a lot of times the adoption falls off, right?
Yeah, that's the same thing in the marketing world. There's stuff that you can get with so much data in it that you're paralyzed by it, that you don't even know how to make a decision because there's so much information there. And someone has to come in and decide. For the first step is building something, right? And then the next step is what data actually matters and what information actually matters.
Yeah. There's a lot of we wish we could have, right? But then when we go down to it, what's actually the key lever in driving, the business decisions and patient compliance and patient case acceptance, right? So that's where we kind of focused on. And obviously we're getting more and more user feedback. And so we launched this software, kind of more nationally as a SaaS model last month. We've already got 24 locations signed up. We got
awesome.
A few more already in the pipeline to activate. And it's really giving the practices the autonomy to come back and say, okay, we're going to streamline this one way across the board of how we document. And then we're going to then go get a specialist. We're not going to go get a specialist first because that typically doesn't work, right? Like the specialist should be the last piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
First, let's get the workflow down. And so the tool is not just a referral tracking. The software has a referral tracking piece to it, has a strong communication component, but it's like a CRM, right? It has your workflow. It's like your Gantt chart of how do we manage
that's
this?
Exactly. How do we manage the ecosystem? It's so crazy because we're dealing with the same thing as now we're working with the specialty offices that we're doing marketing. And we're like, oh, the patient's being lost in the journey, but they're not in the PMS yet.
Right.
Someone has to track that. So what you're actually doing is you're dealing with these patients that are in the PMS that are leaving the PMS. Mm-hmm. And where are they going? Like what's happening to them? And so in every other industry you have, and dental's been very resistant to this. In every other industry, you have a CRM that allows you to manage these patients as they move through outside of your normal software that you maybe track the activity that this customer or patient does. And so we're actually solving for the top of funnel. You're solving way low bottom of the funnel. And I find that so interesting because it's just such a glaring hole. You can literally see it. once you get into it and you fill it, and once you see a CRM, you can totally see that. And what's the name of your software? It's Stream.
It's called Stream Dental.
Is that right?
Yeah, Stream Dental. And the whole vision of that is, again, it's a referral stream, it's a workflow stream, it's a communication stream, and so we want to be able to kind of create a platform that allows other practices and groups to really optimize their opportunity.
Why wouldn't somebody use it? Like, what would be the reason somebody's like, I can't think of a reason.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, our most common kind of feedback is, well, it's one more thing, right? Mm. It's one more software. It's not integrated to our practice management system. And then we're truthful about it, right? So you do have a practice management system and it's still not being documented in that, right? And so,
yeah.
I think it depends on how the process is, right? So some practice management systems are really easy to document that. Some it takes several more clicks to, right?
Yeah.
And even if you document it, you still don't have the imaging in place to be able to send to the specialist. So there's so many different varieties, but that's usually the initial pushback. And then what we do is we actually have gone through the process of just setting up the practice with the demo and let them do their own test referral. And it takes about a minute, right? So once they realize, like, okay, this is actually really easy to use.
Yeah.
I don't have to go through trying to find my logbook of patients and where did I follow up with them. And it actually creates, like a CRM does, a follow up, right? So here are the patients that were supposed to follow up on September 9th. And then when you open up the queue, it has your list of your five patients you're supposed to follow up. So it's not overwhelming. Yep. It gives direction to the team members that's assigned to follow up on those calls, and it drives in high revenue cases.
Yeah. So question. I love that, by the way. So that is a problem, though, which you just presented. We get that a lot too. It's like, great, you solved this problem, but now I have 37 dashboards to log into, and you're number 38. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Right. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can really say about that. Yeah, it's totally true. But what I see happening, because of the way the PMSs are structured and all the data is structured in the warehouse that a lot of the data lives in, like, you have all these companies like what we're doing, what you're doing, and there's other ones as well. We're not doing this because we're like, man, we're going to go make a ton of money. We were like, no, there's like a legitimate problem. My business can't function without this. My clients can't function without this. I'm crazy if I don't do this. So we're like building these workarounds, but eventually, some of this stuff has to start working together. And I know you may not have the answers and I might not have the answers, but I was just curious on, like, how do you see that kind of playing out? Do you see it playing out? Do you see somebody solving it from a different angle, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think the technology piece is going to continue to evolve, right? And I think there's going to be some mechanisms where those kind of collapse down with APIs and it can kind of formulate into one or two. But I'll tell you my exact conversation I had with an office manager about 2 weeks ago that said, hey, it's just one extra thing, right? Where her phone was out on the desk and she has an iPhone. Says, hey, open up your phone real quick for me. And she shows me her phone, right? And there enough, there are so many apps on her phone.
Yep.
I go, so on your phone, you've kept the apps that you feel are important, viable, feasible, and help you through your day-to-day decisions, right?
Shopping, and then you organize food. Them. You put them in folders.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Some you use every day. Some you use once a month. Some you use once a week.
And you know, the moment you need something, you know where to go and where to find it. So it's no longer a challenge for you, right? So I said, so if we set these up as bookmarks within your various computers and your tablets, and at least on iPhones and tablet and iPads, like, you can set this up on the home screen as essentially like an app. So if we set this up on, you know, your desktop, it's no different than you needing something on your phone and going and finding the app, right? And so I go, I know everyone kind of wants everything in one practice management system, but nothing really true. I mean, we call it swivel chair integration, right? Like, so if you think about all the other APIs and integrations out there, there's still some actual work where you're kind of going back and forth and typing back in, right? Somebody's doing something. And so ultimately what we found is, you know, what are we capturing? Some basic level data. If the referral can be completed in 60 seconds and everything is stored in one place and it's always within the practice, then this is a great opportunity then to run campaigns on specialty. Like, you know, September, everyone always talks about how September is a slow month, right? Well, what if you're sitting on a list of patients who you treatment plan for implants, and you can throw out a campaign directly to those individuals?
I love that explanation that, you know, we have hundreds of apps on our phone right now, and they function perfectly fine. So I'm definitely going to be stealing
we
that.
We add more every day.
Yeah, we do. I do. I add them all the time. Yeah, and they're different uses, right? Like some I have to use every single day, every minute, and some I don't. I only use sparingly, but I still need them. So yeah, I love that, and it's true. That's where we're at. And over time, as the PMS or the iPhone, the hardware gets better, then it'll be easier and easier to make that integration and that functionality work. Because it's just, as you get people who are pushing the edges of this stuff, like it's going to force the PMSs, it's going to force these companies to do more creative. And you already see it. You already see it in certain PMSs that are getting easier to integrate with, or they're playing ball with different people. What's your strategy? This is kind of where we're at. Early next year, we're going to start. You know how any SaaS product comes out and then they start partnering with everybody, they integrate with them. Do you have a strategy around that you're looking at, or what are your thoughts on that?
We're probably going to end up partnering with somebody who already has those APIs, right? So partner with somebody who's already done all the heavy lifting on, you know, with the different various API integrations, because there's constant updates through the different practice management systems, right? And so, you know, that just puts like where our focus is on building the tech stack versus focusing on the API integration. And there's enough people out there who have that available to lease and purchase. So, you know, I think it's our way of at least kind of in at least the next 2-3 years to work smarter.
That's awesome. Now, you have a podcast coming out soon, or you had one just start?
My own? No, I haven't had one start yet. I need to. I just got the upgraded AirPods, right? So
I just had somebody, one of my team members said, "Oh, he's starting his podcast soon," but they were probably talking about somebody else. So So what's next for you guys? What's the next thing that you guys have coming out that people should be excited about?
Yeah, so you know, really, we're currently in Texas mainly, right? So we're excited about going out to a couple other markets. We're looking at Chicago, Atlanta, and Charlotte. For our full service model. So we're excited to kind of expand out to those markets. And then we're just really excited to continue to help practices integrate this, integrate Stream Dental. So then we can determine what's the next future market for us to be able to kind of continue to support, right? So I know that like there's always growth and visions. The way we've kind of mapped it out is the first step is let us kind of focus on our core business, right? Let's launch and successfully activate Stream Dental while that will continue to support the core business. And then let's just continue to listen, right? So as we launch Stream Dental, let's just go back and ask our clients, you know, oddly enough, every time we go out and meet with more groups and dental practices, the first thing they ask us is, "Hey, I know you're finding specialists for us. Can you also find general dentists for us?"
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, well, that's again not our core competency right now. I don't know if we want to go down that path, but maybe we do a vertical integration of a company that also recruits, you know, general dentists. And so,
hygienists.
Because we want to help. We want to help our clients have dentists in the practice to support our specialty referrals. And so, you know, we again kind of working backwards on what are our end users asking for, and you know, do we have the capacity, right? A lot of times it's capacity. Do we have the capacity to add more new services?
Yeah.
And before we do that, just really focusing on what we're doing now, I think is critical for the next at least 12 to 18 months.
As you're talking about capacity, I know one of the things that every company runs into, obviously on the dental side, it's short on dentist, hygienist, but in the tech world, it's programmers, right?
Yeah.
It's developers. It's people who can come in and actually build out the things that you're building. How have you tackled that? How are you been approaching that?
It's been tough, right? I mean, so we have two developers that are on site in Austin, Texas, right? And they're amazing people. Just, you know, they've been with us through this whole journey and they've just been phenomenal to work with. But, you know, there's constant desires and enhancement needs that we want to make. So, you know, we're exploring other, you know, options of, you know, bringing either another developer, which, as you can imagine, getting developers in Austin right now is like
very
incredibly difficult, right? It's expensive, it's just difficult, right? Google, yeah. Facebook—they're kind of picking them all up right now.
Well, but so everybody understands, there's if you think you're limited on dentist and hygienist, there's even less from a capital from a per capita size for mm-hmm. developers, and then you're not competing against other dentists; you're competing against Tesla, Google, yeah. Facebook, and these bigger tech companies that are paying. They'll double their salary. They'll double what they're actually right. worth of what they would be paying, and yep. move them out there. They'll do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, what happens with and the developer world is they kind of set the stakes. Like, yeah, we'll work with you, but we want this much equity. We want right. this pay. We want they kind of set the stakes, and you don't really have much of a choice if sure. you are building the company. So it's a very tricky. To be able to grow and maintain it and have the funds to continue yeah. on with the work.
You think about I got little kids, right? And so my daughter's 9 years old tomorrow, actually. And so one of the things that we talk about is, okay, how do we make her and my son more well-rounded, right? So we want them obviously focused on academics. We want them in sports. But I'm like, hey, I want them in graphic design. I want them to be coders, right? So that's what's going to really help drive change in the future is access to that type of mental capacity, right? To being able to think it, but then now do it. And So I think just the way we have evolved as society is going more towards that software engineer, but there's such a shortage. So you know, the other option is you have to kind of look to outsource some of that, right?
Yeah.
So there's some support services overseas that in either Poland or in Colombia or in India, and being able to make sure, though, that your tech team has a strong communication kind of platform, as well as kind of assignment of duties. And, you know, because like with coding, everyone can do it differently. It's like dentistry, right? Everyone kind of has their own take on it, maybe on the external looks the same. Oh,
just for a second, okay. You're fine. So yeah, so I totally agree with you. Yeah, it's just like dentistry where the external, the end result can look the same, feel the same, but the process to get to where you want to go totally changes. And that makes it even harder to manage, especially when you're not a developer yourself, right? So it's not an easy thing. So what you've been doing is a hard thing. It's totally different than the first problem that you were solving, even though it's related. So kudos to you for figuring that out. Anything else, anything I forgot to ask you about or any topics that we didn't cover?
Let's see. I mean, we've always kind of talked about the value add of specialty, right? I mean, I think, what else is our, gosh.
It's okay if the answer is no.
Yeah, I can't think of anything right now. Yeah.
How can people connect it with you if they want to learn more about your business?
Yeah. So, you know, feel free to email me kind of directly. It's Santosh, Santosh at CompleteSpecialty.com. You can also go to our website, CompleteSpecialty.com, and there's kind of a contact form there, and that will get to our team members as well as me. If anyone wants to kind of write in there, you know, that they had this heard this podcast on Gary's site, and so I'm happy to kind of reach out to them personally as well. But, you know, my main goal is to help educate as well through this process, and that's always what I've always wanted to kind of just provide and give is the learning curves that we've had to go through. And as people are kind of building their practices yeah. and DSOs, you know, there's a lot of same store opportunity that's attractive to anyone in this industry and being able to kind of create this. And so we're excited about where this trend in this industry is headed.
That's awesome. Yeah, you did a great job. And if you have any questions, reach out to Santosh. He's one of the nicest guys in the world. Always love catching up with you. Great job today.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, Gary. You have a great one.